Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
So good to see everybody this morning. Hey, if you have your Bible, open up to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to be in verses 11 through 16. Before we get to that, if you do not have a vision guide, so if you do not have one of these, please raise your hand real quick. Our ushers have them around the auditorium, and they will get you one. So if you need one of these, everybody needs one. If you didn't bring it back and you were here last Sunday, you're in trouble, right? Remember I told you? It's okay. This is an embarrassing moment right now for you, but it's okay. No, it's all good. Hey, if you need one of these, just raise your hand. We'll get it to you. So if you are visiting with us today, first of all, let me say thank you so much for being here. We're very glad to have you. I want to say that you are here on a very unique Sunday. Last Sunday, we kicked off our five-year vision plan for our future here at Kernan, and so we are continuing that. This vision guide walks us through the first 4 weeks of the five-year plan, and the next 4 weeks are not printed on here yet, but that will be a series through our core values, which are extremely important. So we're going to take 4 weeks just to talk about our core values after we get through the details of the vision guide that you have in your hand. So we're going to dig right into that this morning. Again, if you're visiting with us, thank you so much for being here. We're just honored that you are a part of our family this morning and you're here with us. And so I'd love to meet you after the service in the cafe. So Ephesians 4 verses 11 through 16 is where we're going to be. Let me read that for us and then we will pray and dig right in. So Paul says to the church at Ephesus, he says this, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we get to be a part of what you are doing in the world. Lord, here at Kernan, we are just a small piece of the grand story that you are unfolding. So Jesus, this is truly about you. This is about your story, not ours. But we want to be faithful and do the part that you have called us to do. So reveal that to us today. Show us how to do that as we progress into the future here at Kernan Boulevard. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So like I said, last week we kicked off our vision series, and I hope you're excited about what you heard if you were here last week. We started off by talking about the big picture and where we want to be 5 years from now. So we talked last week specifically about the road that we're on, the lanes that make up that road, and the destination that we're moving towards. So you can see that on page 2 and 3 of your vision guide. You see that map there that kind of explains or is a picture of the metaphor we're using, this transportation metaphor, to describe the destination that we believe God wants to take us to. Right? So if you were not here last week, I highly encourage you to go on our church's website, kernanchurch.com, where you can watch the sermon from last week, just so you can get up to speed and caught up and understand exactly what that was about. Or if you don't want to look at me for 37 minutes, I totally understand. You can listen to our podcast, which is a little better, okay? So check out our podcast on any of your platforms for that. So here's the thing. You can summarize our vision over these next 5 years where we believe God is leading us. You can summarize it with this statement. At Kernan, We exist to glorify God by making disciples who worship with authenticity, walk in community, and witness as we go. We believe that this is the kind of church that God is shaping us and molding us into being, who He wants us to be, so that by the year 2025, this is the norm, right? This is normal. This is who we are and what we do. We're disciples of Jesus, and we want to ultimately bring glory to Him. Well, how do we want to do that? Well, we want to worship Him, but how do we want our worship to look like? What should it look like? Well, we want it to be authentic. We want it to be genuine, right? We want to walk with the Lord closely and grow in our faith day by day, but we want to do that together in community with fellow Christians. And lastly, we want to be a witness to this world. God has called us to be a great witness for His name everywhere we go. And so as we live our lives, as we go out into the world, we want to carry His name with us and represent Him well. So I hope you now understand the destination and where we are moving towards. But now the question becomes, how are we going to get there? Right? How are we going to get there? So in other words, what are the vehicles, right? What are the vehicles that are going to take us to the destination? In other words, what are the ministries, right? What are the ministries that will help us become the kind of church that God wants us to be? That's the question we're asking today. So let's talk about that, these vehicles, these ministries that are going to take us to 2025. How are we getting to the destination? Well, if you look at the top of page 3, if you look at the top of your vision map, you will see these 6 vehicles we need to travel in over the next 5 years, okay? So number 1 is Honda Odyssey. No, wait, sorry, that's a different list I'm looking at. That's unfortunately what we have now, yeah. So here's the vehicles that we are traveling in over the next 6 years, okay? Worship service, community groups, next gen ministry, next generation ministry, Kernan Missions, Kernan Equip, and Kernan Central. Okay, now, I know there's some new words up there for you that we aren't used to using around here, and I'll get to that. But these 6 ministries, these 6 areas of our church are the platforms and the context in which our vision will be carried out and implemented. So I want to answer this question before we go further. Why these 6 things, right? Why these 6 ministries? Well, you know, first of all, I believe that organizing everything we need to do here at Kernan into these 6 categories, what it does is it helps us communicate with clarity, right, our goals that we're trying to achieve, and it also helps us set very clear expectations for our leaders and for our volunteers and the way they're going to be serving and the way you are going to be serving in these vehicles. And it also helps the church function in a more cohesive, unified manner. So, you know, some churches operate basically as kind of a free-for-all, where anyone can start any ministry at any time without asking anyone if it's a good idea or not, with no communication or accountability. And in a church like that, you know, what you end up with is a church full of people trying to do good things for the Lord, and their heart is in the right place. But here's the problem that leads to. Everyone ends up doing their own thing. Right? Everyone ends up doing their own thing, so there's no real teamwork, there's no real unity, there's no real vision, because everyone has their own vision for what they believe the church should look like. We don't want that here at Kernan. We want to be a unified body of Christ in one mind and one spirit, right? So I would rather us do these 6 things really well with excellence than do 20 different things poorly or half-heartedly or without, you know, with poor communication and not teamwork. So that creates distance between us. So in any church, what you need is you really only need the ministries that will actually help you get to your destination. So we truly believe that these six ministries are what are needed, is what are needed to get to the destination. So our staff, we've been working so hard to try to organize everything we do here at Kernan into a way that makes sense, into a way that will promote unity among all of us, and in a way that really will excite us as we move forward. So it's very important for us to understand what the function and the purpose is for each of these six ministries, how they will fit into the big picture, okay? Now keep in mind, the vehicles are just showing us how we are organizing our efforts, okay? On the next page, we'll get to look at the mile markers in your vision guide, which will tell us how we're going to do these things. And actually, today we are going to look at the worship service mile markers. So we got to go pretty quickly here for sake of time. I don't want to keep you too late. So let's get going and just stay with me, okay? So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 says this. The first thing, the first vehicle I want us to talk about is the worship service. And we looked at this verse last week as we talked about worship. Here's what the author of Hebrews says. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. So if we want to become a church that makes disciples who worship with authenticity, right? That's who we want to be. If we want to become that kind of church, then we need to be very intentional in the way we conduct our worship service, right? Because the worship service, and that's what we're in right now, right? At 10:15 every Sunday, this worship service that you're in right now, it is the primary place. It's the primary place where we worship God together as a church. Now, you know, when we use the word worship, typically the first thing that comes to mind is music and singing. And of course, those are two huge parts of our worship to God. Absolutely. We need to be singing music or singing songs and playing music. That's two vital parts of worship. But we need to consider other forms of worshiping God and expressing praise to Him, and what that looks like in our worship service. So here's the primary forms of worship that we want to include in our worship services here at Kernan, and all of these are prescriptive in the New Testament. In other words, this is what we are pretty much called and commanded to do. So we are called to sing and play music, all right? Colossians 3:16 tells us that. The worship service is the primary place where the preaching of the Word of God occurs. Baptism, right? That should be happening frequently in a worship service as people come to know the Lord. Lord's Supper, right? We should do that often as we think about what Christ has done for us. So prayer, right? Prayer is something that we should be doing in the worship service collectively as the body of Christ coming together. That is so important. In fact, that's one of our core values that we'll get to later on in the series. Scripture reading and testimonies. Man, I think it's just a great thing when the Word of God is just read, and I'm not even preaching it, but maybe someone else is standing on stage and they're just reading the Word of God and letting it speak for itself. And then giving, of course. Giving is truly an act of worship, and the worship service is the primary place that we do that. So, we're actually going to cover all of those in detail here in just a minute. So I'm going to move on to the next vehicle. We're going to get to this later, but that's the worship service, or the contents of the vehicle of the worship service. All right, so let's keep going. Community groups. Community groups is our second vehicle. We read just a minute ago in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. I want to read that again. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So that those verses really kind of paint the picture of what we want community groups to look like here at Kernan. Now, if you haven't figured it out already, yes, we are changing the name of small groups to community groups. Now, I know what some of you are thinking, like, oh my goodness, I still call it Sunday school. Well, it's okay, I get it. But it's kind of like, you know, I know it's gonna take some time getting used to, but it's kind of like, you know, the Jaguar Stadium, whether you say Alltel Stadium or Everbank Field or whatever it's called now, like everybody gets it, we know what you're talking about, but if you say those other names, you're actually wrong, you know what I'm saying? So you kind of want to be right. But here's the reason for this name change, okay? Here's the reason that we're gonna call our small group hour at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, we're gonna call that community groups for this reason. We want to be a church who walks in community, right? We want to be a church that makes disciples who walk in community with each other, that live out Ephesians 4 verses 11 through 16. So whether your group on Sunday mornings is large or small, the best word that we could use that actually describes what we're trying to accomplish is the word that's in our vision statement, right? Community. So we want our groups to be a place of Christian community. So that's why this vehicle is so important. We want community groups to really be the nucleus of the life of our church. Church is not about programs or buildings, okay? Church is about people, right? We are the church. It's you and me. We are the church, the people. And what better way to connect with each other in Christian relationship, what better way to grow in our faith together than by meeting once a week in a designated group with people that you love in the same season of life? I think that's the best way to do it. That is what community groups are for. So, here's what we want community groups to do here at Kernan. Three things. In your community group that you're in, with people of your around your season of life, we want you to learn about the Bible together, learn about God, learn about the Christian life together. We want you to serve together. So we're going to have opportunities, and we're going to talk much detail about this next week, so I'm going to not spend too much time on this. We're going to have opportunities for you as a group to serve together and be held accountable for that. And then thirdly, we want to just do life together. Like, we want to have fun together, right? Christians should be able to have fun together. We should be able to enjoy getting to know each other off this church campus and doing events and hanging out together. So, like I said, we're going to talk about this next week. In fact, community groups are going to be so important for the vision of this church moving forward over the next 5 years that we're dedicating a whole week next week to only talk about this. Now, you can see how much ground we're covering right now. That's how much we believe community groups, that's how important it's going to be. We're going to spend all next week talking about it. So in the meantime, we'll keep moving on. All right. So the next ministry or vehicle that takes us to the destination is our next gen ministry, our next gen ministry. Psalm 145 verse 4 says, one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. You know, the vision that we're walking through right now only carries us to 2025, right? That's just 5 years from now. That's not that long. But we would be extremely foolish. We would be extremely foolish as a church if we did not prepare for what our church is going to look like 10, 15, 20 years from now, right? And you know how we do that? By investing in the next generation right now. That's how we make sure our church will be healthy and the body of Christ will be healthy 20 years from now. It's by investing in our preschool, in our kids department, in our student ministry. It's by investing in them now. Because 20 years from now, they're going to be the ones leading the church in many ways, right? So where does that start, though? Well, that actually starts in our homes. That's where that starts. You see, here at Kernan, we want to be known as a church that cares about the family. We want to be known as a church that cares about families and equips parents to own their God-given responsibility to make disciples of their children. So we're calling Next Gen Ministry here at Kernan one of our six primary vehicles or ministries that is necessary to make it to 2025 to become that kind of church. So here's how this kind of looks. I heard another pastor use this illustration one time, and I think it's very fitting for what we're trying to accomplish, especially with our transportation metaphor, okay? So in this next gen vehicle, you know who the driver of that vehicle is? It's not me. It's not Pastor Jonathan. It's actually you, the parent or the guardian of that child. You're the one driving the vehicle. Now, the church is in the passenger seat, all right? So Pastor Jonathan, our next gen pastor, and me and the staff, you know, the volunteers that work in Next Gen Ministry, we're in the passenger seat with you, and we're helping you, and we're assisting you along the way, and we're helping with the map and giving you directions. But parents, you are driving the vehicle. You are. So at Kernan, we want to partner with families. We want to partner with families of all different shapes and sizes to help you and equip you to have a Christ-centered home, to raise up a generation who seeks to worship with authenticity, walk in community, and witness as they go out into this world. So in 2 weeks, we will go through the details of this and what this is going to look like moving forward. But I'm excited about it. I really am. All right, let's move on to the next vehicle, Kernan Missions. Acts 1 verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." John 20, 21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." So we are people who have been sent by Christ on a particular mission. At Kernan, we want to be a church that makes disciples as we go, who witness to the world as we live our lives. We are called to be witnesses of Christ and his great gospel message as we go, as we live our lives, in every circle of influence God has placed us. That's what Kernan Missions is all about. It's not just about mission trips and things like that, though that's included. It's also about equipping you to live for the gospel so that others see Christ in you every day and witness and share the gospel with them. So there's three ways that we can organize this mission effort. Three ways that we want to see lives transformed by God's grace, by the power of Jesus. And here's what we want to do to see that. We want to be involved in local missions. In other words, missions right here in our own backyard in Jacksonville, Florida. We want to make a true impact in the neighborhoods and this city of Jacksonville for the gospel and glory of Jesus so that others may come to know him. We're going to give you all the details on that in a couple of weeks. We want to be involved in domestic missions here in the United States. One primary way we're going to be involved in that is through church planting. And again, I'm excited to give some of that detail to you in a couple of weeks. And thirdly, we want to be involved around the world. We want to go on mission internationally to bring the gospel to people who have no hope. That's what Kernan Missions is truly all about. We have some really awesome opportunities, and I'm excited to share those with you in week four. But for now, we're going to move on to the next vehicle. So the next vehicle is Kernan Equip. Kernan Equip. Now, I know this is a new term, a new phrase here, so let me read Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 again that we read earlier. Paul says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers God gave those roles and responsibilities to the church. Why? Verse 12. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So just think about what that means there. Jesus ordained pastors and shepherds and teachers, like the leaders, right? The leaders in the church. Jesus has ordained them to equip you. So the people, the whole church, should be equipped to live on mission for God. So one of the three main functions of community groups that we talked about earlier is to learn together, right? We want to learn about God together. And our 9 o'clock hour in those community groups is going to be a great way for you to do that. But sometimes we need to go further. We need to go deeper. Sometimes we need training about specific topics so we can be equipped to live on mission in our homes and in our world in very specific scenarios. And sometimes we need to challenge ourselves to go deeper in our study of God's Word. So whether it be doing an in-depth study of a particular book in the Bible, or learning about marriage, or taking a class on parenting, or being trained to share the gospel through a specific class, we want Kernan to be a place where you, the people, God's body, we want you to be able to be resourced very easily and equipped to live for God in your everyday life. So that is what Kernan Equip is for. This is a simple way for us to organize anything we do to equip ourselves to live for God in very specific areas of our lives and to challenge us to go deeper in our study of God's words. So again, we're getting into the details and the mile markers of this in a couple of weeks. This is just the overview. But if you're curious, Kernan Equip will basically consist of our Wednesday night activities, okay? So our Wednesday night classes are primarily the place where Kernan Equip will actually happen, though there may be sometimes where we have a special class you can take on another night of the week, or there may be a parenting seminar that is on a Friday and a Saturday one weekend or something like that. So that just kind of gives you an idea. But the primary structure of this will be on Wednesday nights. That is Kernan Equip. Okay, so let's keep moving. Kernan Central, our last vehicle, Kernan Central. Again, it's a new term around here. So Kernan Central is simply a name we are giving to help us bring clarity and organization to all of our leadership in the church, all right? As well as our policies and our procedures for everything we do. So for the sake of the transportation metaphor we're going with here, you could consider all of our leaders here at Kernan are kind of the drivers of these other vehicles, right? And our policies and our procedures are the rules of the road, if you will. Now, I know you think this stuff is probably boring, right? But these are actually very important for our church and its future. So you can organize all of our leadership into these lead teams, all right? So here they are. We have our staff, our deacons, right? Our finance team, our community group leaders, our Kernan Equip leaders, our next gen leaders, our Kernan Safety Awareness team, and our First Impressions team, which includes our greeters and our ushers, okay? So those are the teams, the leadership teams, that will help us get to the destination. But then we also have our policies and our procedures. So that includes things like the bylaws, our policies on next gen ministry and all that kind of stuff, business meetings, our staff handbook, our property use, all of that kind of stuff. And again, we'll tell you the details on that later. But that's Kernan Central, right? Our leaders and the guidelines for how they lead and how we operate as a church. So those are the six vehicles that will transport us to the destination of becoming a church that makes disciples who worship with authenticity, walk in community, and witness as we go. We believe those six ministries are going to be the context in which this vision is truly carried out and implemented. Now, time for the fun stuff. Okay, y'all ready? All right. So, it's time to start talking about our goals. as we go through this vision over the next 5 years. In other words, our mile markers. Our mile markers tell us how we know we're making progress, right? This is how we track our progress. So if you turn to page 4 of your vision guide, all right, turn to page 4 of your vision guide. This is where the mile markers begin, and we are going to only cover today our worship service mile markers, all right? So in other words, our mile markers tell us how we're moving in the right direction, if we're making progress, and so we're going to go through this vehicle by vehicle over the next few weeks. But like I said, I want us to start with the worship service. There are four categories that pertain to the worship service that have specific goals over the next 5 years. Now, earlier I showed you a list of things that, you know, pertain to the worship service, such as baptism and the Lord's Supper. You know, we're not setting specific goals for those things because we want to continue doing them, and I believe we're already doing them well in the way we do them, right? So we obviously, that's a huge part of what we're doing, but we've only set particular specific ways to track our progress in some other categories. So that's what I'm sharing with you today. So first of all, music and preaching. Music and preaching. Such a vital part of the worship service, expressing our praise to God and hearing the word of God. So Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." All right, so we should be singing and expressing our gratitude to God. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." Paul told Timothy, preach the word of God to the church. So you want to remember here that our goal, right, our five-year goal in this category is to become a church who worships how? With authenticity, right? In this genuine manner. We don't want our worship to be stale. We don't want our worship to be cold or out of a sense of obligation or religious duty. Like, we want our worship to be an overflow of the gratefulness in our hearts for what God has done. So, how can we track our progress to make sure we're becoming that kind of people? Well, first of all, we want to have unified content for our music and our sermon. Okay, unified content for our music and our sermon. So by 2023, all right, just a couple years from now, by then, we want it to be normal here that the words of the music we sing in the worship service reflect the content of the sermon that day. Okay? Pretty cool, right? So we want to take the scripture passage that I'll be preaching through, and me and Kyle will collaborate on that, and the songs we sing will be directly tied to the scripture that I'm preaching that day. We want that to be normal by the year 2023. All right? That helps us in our minds see the big picture of God's word and what he's doing in the world as we express our gratitude to him, right? Pretty cool. So we want to do that. We also want to give you weekly previews of each week's sermon and music. All right, so by 2023, we want this to be the norm, right? So in a couple years, by then, we want it to be a regular thing here that every week, in some kind of way, you receive a preview of what's happening that Sunday. So what that does is that allows you to look over the passage before you come and hear it preached. So I think coming to church and hearing the sermon is great, and we need that, but how much better would it be if you already had an idea of where it was going, right? So then you're actively listening and you're actively learning by being prepared a little bit, even if it's just reading the passage before you come to church on Sunday morning. That is such a huge help. It shows that you care about what God is trying to tell you through his word. So we want to give you a preview of that every week. We also are going to be planning and promoting sermon series at least 2 weeks in ahead of time to give you that preparation. All right, so that's the music and preaching portion of our worship. The second portion that we want to set goals for is prayer, okay? So 1 Timothy 2:1 says, First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. Timothy, Paul telling Timothy, we need to be a praying church. So, one way we want to do this is have seasonal prayer gatherings. Seasonal prayer gatherings. So, by 2023, we want to have already established a rhythm of having seasonal prayer gatherings that are very intentional and focused on specific things, okay? So this year, in the year 2020, we are going to have two of these, all right? Now the second one is gonna be before school starts, focusing on a new school year and the kickoff to some really cool things that are gonna be happening in our next gen ministry, all right? So we're really excited about that. That'll probably be in early August, somewhere around there. But the first prayer gathering that we're going to have is actually going to be right after we finish this 8-week series. After we finish this 8-week vision series, we want to have our first prayer gathering on Thursday, April 9th at 6:30 here in the worship center. Thursday, April 9th at 6:30. Of course, you'll be told this and you'll get that update many times between now and then. But the reason we want to gather is so that we can pray about this vision and truly dedicate it to God and who we want to be over the next 5 years. So I think it'd be really special for us after we go through this series together to just come together and just pray. Pray together that God would bless this and that he would accomplish this through us. So we're going to do that on Thursday, April 9th. I'm excited about that. It'd be an awesome time. That's also the week of Easter. So what a perfect time to come together as a church. All right. Another way we want to track our progress in becoming a praying church is through monthly prayer cards. We want to give you monthly prayer cards, and we're going to start this in May. All right. So May of this year is when we're going to start, and we're going to have prayer cards for you to take home, and the purpose of these will be to prompt us to pray as a church continually, right? So we want to do these prayer gatherings occasionally, but we want to frequently pray together over the same topics, and these prayer cards will be what guide us through that. Now, these are not prayer requests, okay? That's different. That's what you will do in your community groups and your Kern and Equip classes on Wednesday nights. You can do prayer requests and pray for each other in those specific ways, but these are broader topics than that, okay? So the topics may include missionaries we support. So one prayer card may be one missionary family that we pray for as a church for that month. It could be an unreached people group, a group around the world that's never heard the gospel. It could be a specific need here in Jacksonville that we want to pray for and see happen through God's grace and mercy. It could be a specific ministry here at Kernan. We may want to take a month and just pray for our kids' ministry and everything God's doing there. It could be issues that arise around the world. It could be all kinds of things. But we want to be a church that prays frequently and specifically. Frequently and specifically. That's actually going to be one of our core values moving forward. But the purpose of setting these prayer goals and these new initiatives with prayer, it's not so that we can just say, hey, we did it, right? We did it, we prayed, let me check that box off my Christian checklist. I prayed and so I feel better about myself now. That's not why we're doing this. We are doing this because we believe in the power of prayer. Like, we believe in the power of prayer. Talking to God, our Creator, is an honor and a privilege that we should not take lightly. And I don't know about you, but I need some help with that sometimes, right? I mean, whose prayer life in here is just so awesome that you don't need any help at all, right? Please don't raise your hand, okay? But not mine. Like, I need help with this. We all need motivation, and some structure sometimes helps in the way we pray. You know, Jesus taught his disciples, right? In Matthew chapter 6, he taught them a model prayer. He was teaching them how to pray. So we want to be a church that prays frequently and specifically with intentionality, and these mile markers will help us do that. All right? Let's keep going. The one you've all been waiting for, giving. All right. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 says this. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, For God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. You know, giving a portion of our income to the church in a weekly or monthly basis, however you want to do it, to Christ's body, that is truly an act of worship, right? So that's why we're including giving under the worship service mile markers. Because it's, first of all, it's something we do in the worship service. But secondly, it is an act of worship itself, right? You know, Paul says there in 2 Corinthians 9 that we should, that God loves a cheerful giver, right? So God doesn't love a reluctant giver. Ugh, I know I have to tithe today, but man, you know, or God doesn't love somebody who's just doing it like, well, I'm just doing this because, you know, I feel better about myself and Christians are supposed to, and that's what my grandma told me and all that good stuff. No, God loves a cheerful giver. But how do we do that? Like, who gives cheerfully, right? I mean, a lot of people, I think, we struggle with that because it is reluctant in many ways because we think of other ways we could use that money, right? But so how does God love, or I'm sorry, how should we become a cheerful giver? Well, we actually talked about this in our small group, aka community group, right, this morning. How do we become a cheerful giver? You know, I think that, I truly believe that our generosity, right, our generosity is directly tied to our gratitude. Generosity is tied and directly correlated with gratitude. Here's what I mean. When we realize how much God has done for us through Jesus, right? The more we realize and the more we are grateful and thankful for what Christ has done for us, the fact that we were bound for hell, but Jesus died for us so that we could have eternal life, and not only that, become heirs of the kingdom of God. Like, we have an inheritance now. We were poor. Spiritually speaking, we were poor and on our way to eternal damnation. But now through Christ, right, we have an inheritance. And it's the kingdom of God. Like, man, that should blow our minds. We should dwell on that fact and accept that and love that every day of our lives as Christians. Well, that is a motivation like no other. So the more we dwell on that gospel truth, the more we are thankful and grateful for what Christ has done for us, you know what? The more generous we will be to others. As God has been to us, so we should be to others. You're not going to be generous to anybody if you're not thankful for what God's done for you. That's where it starts. That's what it means to be a cheerful giver. You're cheerfully giving because you want others to experience grace and mercy and love as you have from God. And one great way to do that, that we're commanded to do that right here, is through our financial giving. Our financial giving to the church. So financially, God has blessed this church in the past greatly. And today, you know, we're doing okay. We're doing okay. But here's the reality. Our budget for 2020 is $915,785. In other words, that's the amount it takes for us to do everything we're currently doing without financial strain, okay? But here's the thing. We want to do more. We want to do more. We want to be able to support more missions efforts. We want to be able to invest more into our kids and our student ministry. So we could keep it at 915, and we can barely get by, and we will not be able to do anything else. But is that where we want to stay over the next 5 years? I mean, honestly, I think we should be doing a lot more. And the kicker is that there is something holding us back. There's something holding us back. We owe roughly ballpark about $1.4 million on this building and the Family Life Center. Now, I'm very grateful that we have these facilities. We have great facilities. But that's a good chunk of change that we still owe on this property. Now, we're paying $161,000 a year towards that, okay? But here's what we want to do. By the year 2023, just 3 short years from now, we want to have established a mortgage elimination plan. We want to establish a good, efficient mortgage elimination plan But in order to get to that point, in order to get to a point where we can actually eliminate our mortgage, we need to get this vision in this year started in the right direction with this year's budget. So what I'm challenging you to do today, and I just want to make it very clear here. Hey, if you're a guest with us, you can totally check your Facebook right now because I'm not talking to you. And if you already were, I get it. I understand. But this is for our people, all right? So if you're a member here at Kernan, yes, this is an expectation we have of you. And here's the thing. In order for us to get to that point where we're healthy enough to establish that mortgage elimination plan, I would love to see us, and I'm challenging you as our church, to exceed this year's budget by 5%. Exceed this year's budget in our giving by 5%. So what is that? I'm terrible with math, so I think my calculator's right. $961,574. That's how much we need to take in this year. To exceed our budget by 5%, we need to give $961,574. So my question is, can we do that? All right. I heard like five yeses. Probably a lot of you are like, I don't know. Right? Maybe a couple of you are like, I'm out. Okay. So here's the thing, guys. Look, God has been so generous to us. God has been so great to us and generous to us. Look, the least we can do is be generous to Him, right? Generous back to Him in that form of worship, which allows us to be generous to others. Let's do that, all right? All right, the next mile marker we've got is attendance. All right, attendance. And just for the record, yes, this is the last one, okay? All right, attendance. So Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. I'll be honest with you, I was very hesitant to set attendance goals because I want you to know something right now. The point of this vision is absolutely not to see how big of a church we can become, okay? The reason for this vision is to put us on a path towards becoming a healthy, fruitful church that brings glory to God and makes disciples and sees people's lives transformed by the gospel. That's the goal of this vision. So that the gospel will spread around our city and around the world. So we want to be faithful to do that. But here is the thing. Here's the natural outcome of that. Like we just read in Acts, if we are truly making disciples and teaching them to become disciples who witness as they go, then guess what? Multiplication naturally happens. That's God's design. So a church that is not growing is a church that isn't making disciples. Do you see that? Like, it's not about church growth, it's about making disciples. So multiplication of disciples happens naturally when we actually start doing it. That's God's design. So if we live out this vision, we will become a healthy church that makes disciples, and I think that these goals will be the natural overflow of that. So by 2021, I think we should have a 25% increase in our worship attendance. So right now we're averaging about 265, and man, I think it'd be great by this time next year to have 330 in worship. That means we're making disciples. That's what that means, right? 2023, 464. 464 in worship 3 years from now. That means that you are out there in the world making disciples. So those are the mile markers. Those are the ways that we're tracking our progress here in this vehicle known as the worship service. Next week, we're going to talk about community groups. So you know what to do, right? You got to bring it back. Or you're going to have to raise your hand in front of everybody, okay? So bring this vision guide back with you next week. And Kyle's going to come up and sing a closing song for us in here in just a second. Let me go ahead and pray for us and before we worship. Lord, thank you so much for your grace and your love. Thank you for giving us these goals. Thank you for giving us this vision. Lord, may we be found faithful to accomplish it through the power of your Holy Spirit working in us. Would you do that in our lives? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.